There's a Gemara in Brachos. Like many halachos, things stem from a Gemara in Brachos, Taf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Ein Om Dim Lehispala, Lo Mitoch Atzlus, Lo Mitoch Atzlus. A person should not get up to daven from a sense of being sad, atzuv, and Eitzel also being lazy, a sense of being non-committal. V'lo mitoch schok, and not silly, v'lo mitoch sicha, not from sicha betela, not schmoozing. You should feel a sense of you're about to do something important at the end of the day. Sometimes it happens, a person is in the middle of a giggling fit, and it's time to daven, and you're talking with your friends, you're giggling, and can't get yourself together. So you have to take a moment, relax, breathe deeply, and then step into daven, mincha, shachas, whatever it's going to be. V'lo mitoch kalus rosh, not silliness, v'lo mitoch devarim betelim, ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. Now, this statement to the Gemara has a lot to unpack, but I really want to talk about one line, and that is the idea of lo mitoch atzvus. The Gemara says that we shouldn't daven out of sadness, being atzuv. And it's a strange idea, as we'll touch upon in a moment. But we want to talk about this idea of davening from sadness. There's another time to talk about davening of simcha shel mitzvah and ivdus Hashem besimcha and things like that. But I want to talk today about the avoda, the service of Hashem through sadness, of being upset, of being annoyed about something. Essentially, one cannot daven when one is sad. And the Rambam cites much of this in Hilchos Tefillin Perek Daled. But you'll notice very quickly, the Rambam changes our Gemara. V'chein ein om din lehispala lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch kalas rosh, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch meriva, v'lo mitoch kas, el mitoch devrei Torah. The Rambam says as well, you have to have a certain mindset when it comes to davening. And he talks about not being silly, and not being lightheaded, and not schmoozing beforehand, and not being angry. But the Rambam, for some reason, leaves out, Atzvus. The Rambam doesn't mention that it's a problem to daven from being sad. A person is sad, a person is upset about something. The Rambam makes no mention. And because the Rambam makes no mention, it does not make its way into Shulchan Aruch as well. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Sadi Gibel and Orach Chaim cites much of this Rambam in the Gemara as well and makes no mention of our Gemara about davening from being sad. So the Maaser Rokeach, which is a commentary on the Rambam, notes this. Look at the Maaser Rokeach. Rabbeinu Hishmet Din Atzvus V'Atzlus. Apparently the Rambam left out the idea of being sad when it came to the laws of davening. Shelo Hayu Bigir So Sozal must not have been in the version of the Gemara that the Rambam had. It wasn't his Gemara. V'chein HaRush, and the Rush doesn't bring it. V'harav Beis Yosef Zal and Yosef Karo doesn't mention it either. Nir Shelo Gorsim Kena must be that they did not have this Gemara at the end of the day. V'chein Matzasi B'Yerushalmi L'Hach Braisa Gufa V'Leis Ba'aslas V'Aslas. And in fact, if you look in the Yerushalmi, a version of this Gemara appears, and there's no mention of being sad at all and not davening. Umi Kol Makom says the Maestro Keach Mistab Rishiroi Lizar Demide Ganai Lo Yatsanu Be'inyan Simcha Dafka. He says, nevertheless, you shouldn't daven when you have atzvus, when you're very sad. You still shouldn't do it because it's not a nice thing to daven in such a way. And when a person is atzuv, when they are sad, they can come to anger, and that part is cited in the halacha. You can't be angry when davening. Now, we see this in another place as well, a similar expression, in a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Amud Beis. She'ein shchina shora lo mitoch atzvus v'lo mitoch atzlus. Hashem's presence does not rest on anybody who is sad, who is atzil. V'lo mitoch sok, v'lo mitoch chalas rosh. It should be very similar to what we saw before. V'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch dvar metelim. El mitoch davar simcha shel mitzvah. Again, so we see there's a connection between Hashem's presence and connecting to Hashem and one's emotional state at that time. In fact, there's a remarkable statement from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer in his drushos, the drushos of the Chassam Sofer are very, very vast. They're hard to find what you're looking for. But if one wants to look it up, it's in the Chassam Sofer, the drushos on page Shin Lamed Gimel, 333. And the Chassam Sofer asks a very important question. He says, in fact, this week's Parsha, we know in this week's Parsha, Moshe hits the rock. And what's the punishment for hitting the rock? He can't go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Chassam Sofer says, I don't understand. Every single time through the last 2 years of the desert, Moshe got up and he would daven. It was magic. B'nai Yisrael made a golden calf. Moshe davened and it worked. and Bnei Yisrael sinned by the Meraglim, and there was going to be a more severe punishment, and it worked. Every single time Moshe davens, his tefillos are effective. Why, over here, are the tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu not effective when it comes to his own ability to enter Eretz Yisrael? So the Chassam Sofer says something so impactful. He says that in those other areas, when Moshe had to daven, Moshe was never sad or depressed. Moshe went on behalf of Klal Yisrael, a knight putting on his armor, going to battle to defend his flock, to defend his people, and therefore, without question, Moshe had the proper mindset. But when Hashem told Moshe he would not be able to enter the land, he became atzuv. He became sad. He became depressed. And because he was depressed, his tefillos were not effective. And that's why his davening didn't work. But if Moshe, says the Chassam Sofer, would have had the proper mindset, perhaps, whatever this means, he would have been effective in his davening at the end of the day. Obviously that has vast ramifications out for right now, but that's what the Chassam Sofer says, because he was atzuv, he was sad and depressed, and that's why his tefillos were not effective at the end of the day. But I want to ask a question on this. Really? That's true? How often are we told a person is sad, a person is going through a struggle, a person is going through shidduchim and it's not going the way they want, and a person wants a parnasa, it's not going the way they want, school is not going the way you want, relationships aren't going the way you want, whatever it is, and you were told, so take that emotion and put it into davening. Daven when you're sad. So what does that mean? Of course we daven when we're sad. When else is there a better time to daven? When we're sad, we need help, and we turn to Hashem. Avinu Shvashamayim. Nobody else is going to help us. Ein lanu elamisha'ein. Nobody to rely on besides Hashem. So what does that mean we don't daven when we're sad? That's crazy. I'll bring you three psukim in Tehillim. It says in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Zayin, Harofei l'shvurei levu mechabesh l'atzvosam. Hashem gives a refuah to those who are brokenhearted. A shvurei levu, a broken heart. Hashem turns to them and helps them. Tehillim Nun Aleph, Zivchei Elokim ruach nishbara lev. Nishbar v'nidke Elokim lo tivazeh. A broken heart, Hashem will never turn away. Hashem will never turn away from someone who davens with a broken heart. And finally, Tehillim Lama Dalet, Karov Hashem l'nishbarei lev. Hashem is close to the person of the broken heart. So what do you mean the broken heart is the most effective way to turn to Hashem? What about Chana, her tefillah? She turns to Hashem wanting a son, wanting him more than anything in the world, a broken heart. And look, we learn all laws of tefillah from Chana. Chana is the paradigm of what a tefillah is supposed to be. David HaMelech, a broken heart, a life filled with disappointment, with highs and lows, and he writes those beautiful tefillahs. Of course you turn to Hashem in a time of atzvus, a time of sadness, when you need Hashem's help at the end of the day. Perhaps we're familiar the famous machlokus in the Rambam and the Ramban. What is the source of the mitzvah of davening, of tefillah? The Ramban says that tefillah is only be'est tzara, at a time of need. But tefillah every single day is a din d'rabbanan, a rabbinic law. The Rambam says tefillah every single day, once a day, is midah oraisa. Ulavdo b'chol v'alchem. What is avodah shebalev, says the Gemara? Zu tefillah, that's davening. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. So the Ramban says, be'est tzara, at a time of need, when things are difficult, that is the mitzvah of tefillah. Rabbi Soloveitchik famously said, how can we synthesize the Rambam and the Ramban? A Jew should always feel that he is be'est tzara. A Jew should always feel he needs Hashem. He's reliant on Hashem. Hashem holds the key. And therefore, we see so many approaches in hashkafa, halacha, how we approach davening. What does the Gemara mean? Ein omdin l'spal lo mitoch atzvos, not from sadness. And this, I think, is an important question we need to decide for ourselves. We need to understand how will it affect our tefillos when it comes to approaching Hashem. Are we supposed to be sad? Should we, you know, watch something on YouTube to cheer us up before we daven if we're in a bad mood? Should we read a comic? Should we tell a joke? What should we supposed to do to be in a better mood? Or should we daven from sadness, as we assume we're supposed to do up until this moment? How do we reconcile Nishbarei Lev and Atzvos? How do they fit together at the end of the day? Just want to note also a beautiful Gemara, a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Perek Zayin says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yudin, Kol ma shepasal Kadosh Baruch Hu, hu bebehema hechshir ba'adam. Whatever Hashem disallowed when it came to offering a korban, he allowed when it came to a human. What was possible, what was not good by the offering of an animal, is kosher when we offer it ourselves. Says the Gemara, how? Possible bebehema iveris o shavur o lev nishbar v'nidke. Sorry, he says, possible bebehema erbas o shavur o charetz o yabelas. V'hichshir ba'adam lev nishbar v'nidke. He says, an animal that's broken is no good for a korban, right? It's a psul. But a human that's broken is kosher for a korban. A human being who's broken and needs help, that's a beautiful korban in the eyes of Hashem. A person who's offering themselves up when they need something more than ever, that's a great korban. And Hashem accepts that as a beautiful kosher offering at the end of the day. So I want to suggest two offerings to understand this issue in front of us. We'll spend a little bit on the first one, and a lot more time on the later one. The first approach is from the Divrei Malkiel, one of the great poskim in the last 100 years, in Chelek Vav, in the beginning of Simen Samach Vav. He was asked about this issue, and the Divrei Malkiel gives a beautiful answer. Let's read together. He says, Aval Hadavar Pashut. He says, it's very simple to me. Demasha Asur L'Hispalo Mitoch Atzvus Hurak Atzvus Mishare Inyanim. You're not allowed to be sad about A, and then daven for B. Aval atzus mi guf hadavar should sarach lehispalel of o tov yoser shemechavim mitzvilas obelev nishbar. But to take that sadness, to take that expression of pain, and to channel it and turn it into a tefillah, 100%, he says. I can't get up to daven, I'm upset about a test, I'm upset about a relationship, and then daven for something else. No, that's not how it works, he says. If you do that, then you're not going to have kavana. Because when I think I'm davening for A, I'm really thinking about B. I'm not going to be focused. But if I take A, and I channel it into my tefillah, I had a bad experience, something was upsetting, I'm down about something, and I take that and I use it to power and to energize my tefillah, then 100%, he says, that's a great tefillah. That's using lev nishbar. Even if the sword, says the Gemara Brachos Daf Yud, is sitting on your neck, you should not remove yourself from asking Hashem for mercy. We know, as the Gemara says, Share Dima Lo Ninalu, that the gates of tears are never locked before Hashem. That gate is always open. And then he davened. We'll touch upon that idea in a moment as well. And he said, "Welcome, Sakana, we should daven as well." So certainly he says, and answer number one is, it's not a contradiction. It's allowed to daven when you take that atzus, you take that nishbare lev, and you turn it into serving Hashem at the end of the day. And that is a great way to serve Hashem and daven. That's approach number one, which I think is beautiful on its own, and is certainly, I think, a proper approach. But I want to turn to a different approach, and I think also gives us an insight to human psychology and how we deal with struggles and being scared and personalities, different personalities at the end of the day. There's a young Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Rav Meir Eliyahu. He has a photographic memory. He's a Baal Tshuva, like in his early 20s, and like 10 years later, he like knew all of Shas. A really interesting guy, and he speaks all over Eretz Yisrael. He has a number of Sfarim. So he has a sefer called Merkeves Argaman. So this is in Chelek Gimel, in Siman Zion. He was also asked this question. The questioner was somebody from Great Neck. That's what it says in the beginning. A guy from Great Neck asked him this question, and he wrote him the following answer. He uses a lot of Kabbalah in his answers. He's a Bucky and Zohar as well, but we're going to stick to the simple explanations and just a beautiful approach that he gives to this issue. He says, first, he says, Yesh tsa'ar shel yeyush amok ad she'enu ma'amin afilu b'tfilo v'sober she'eni yichol lahaniv lo pri. There are people who have a type of sadness and a type of pain where they think that even davening won't work. A depression. V'siyua min Hashemayim. There'll be no help from Hashem. Ki mispal behargashas yeish. A person who davens from depression, from giving up on everything, v'libo balimo, and his heart is not with him. V'adai kol hatfila na'asis ma'asafa v'lachutz. He's just giving lip talk. He's just talking, but he doesn't really believe it. V'arehu k'mishalim chovo bal korcho. He's paying away. He's paying back because he has to. Ubli kavanu v'reyusa deliba, and his heart is bitter. Vaday shelo tasa tefila kol pri v'shamayim mima'al m'meila ala aretz mitachas. The tefil is not going to be effective in the upper worlds, and it's not going to be effective in the lower worlds. If you don't believe in what you're saying, and you're just spitting it out, and you're depressed because you think nothing's going to help. This is what Chazal said. Because Hashem cannot rest on somebody like that, who's so broken and doesn't believe in anything and has totally abandoned everything. There's nothing there. That type of seal is not going to work. However, a person takes his tefillah and his problems and he davens with them, and he wants help, and he turns to the one who can only help him, and he puts his heart in his hands and he supplicates before Hashem, adarabba, nikar shenu meyeyush min harachmim ele betachnunim v'dima bedaber karis v'leiv. He takes his broken heart and puts it before the king. So he should have mercy on him. His heart is really happy because he knows that Hashem can help him. Hashem, the Chazal did not say about a person who is sad but not depressed, that was not said about them. We're talking about a person who said you're upset about something, but you're not broken. You still believe in the power of tefillah. This is not a depression. It's sadness. We can be upset. You're allowed to be scared. That's okay at the end of the day, to have emotions and to feel and to not be perfect. That's perfectly okay to realize a person can have stumbles and struggles and get over them and deal with them and eventually see the light at the end of the tunnel as well. So that's his approach. There's two types of emotions. There's depression and there's sadness. A person who's depressed, the first thing before he davens, he needs to be a ben adam. He needs to be a mensch before you're a Jew. You need to be a human being. You need to know that your emotions are taken care of, that you can function properly. And if the person is not functioning properly and they can't get out of bed, you need to take care of yourself first. And then afterwards, you'll build on the halachos and the tefillah and things like that. This has nafkaminas as well. Rav Asher Weiss has a now famous shuv in the last few years about OCD in halacha. And he talks about the importance of being a person and a human being and knowing where halacha has to take a back seat for a moment so a person can correct their psychological disorders and work on themselves at the end of the day. So how can you tell the difference? What's the sign? What's the litmus test at the end of the day for a person to know what type of tefillah it is and what it's going to be? Is it going to be a tefillah that's going to be a good tefillah, that's nishbere lev, or a tefillah that's going to be a not so good tefillah of atzvas? So the Rebbe of the Shomrei Amunim writes in his Sefer as follows. He says, a person when they get up to daven, and at the end of the day, they daven about something that's bothering them, and they feel better afterwards, I've expressed myself, I've unloaded a burden, I feel that I've done something. So that person, we know, is davening from Nishmar Lelev, because he's taken his burden and thrown it on Hashem. But a person who davens a Shmona Esrei about something that's bothering them, and they feel no different at the end of the day, it's the same before they started 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, then that person needs to check themselves. They need to make sure that they're okay. Because a person who goes and sincerely talks to Hashem, and talks to a friend who cares deeply about them, and knows that this person cares more about them than any other person, any other being in the world cares about them, and at the end of those 5-10 minutes feels no different, person needs to make sure they're in the right place. A tefillah is supposed to make you feel better after Shmona Esrei, not just as bad as you were beforehand in those situations. There's a similar idea found from the Beis Medrash of the Yid HaKadosh and his Talmud, Rav Simcha ben Peshitsa, and his Talmud, the Kutzker Rav. So we'll quote from the Rebbe of them, the Yid HaKadosh, and this is brought in the Sefer Tehillim Shoshanim Ledavin and Tehillim Kukmem Zayin. Says as follows. Harofe lishvure lev mechabesh lasvosam. Lahavin halo lev nishbar hu mida meshubechas maod. A lev nishbar, a broken heart, is in fact a good mida. Uma zos lerefua nechsheves. Why does it need to be a refua? Why do we need a refua? Ulam yesh lomar ki hayadua im ki ha'emes ki lev nishbar hu tov ma'od ulam ach besimcha. Lo ki ba'atsov. If a person is atsov, they're depressed, then there's no joy at all. A lev nishbar will find joy in that sadness. Eventually, that sadness will lead towards happiness. But a person who's depressed will never find it. Yeah, mutter. That's mutter. V'zesh amar akosav habori yisparach shemo, rofei l'shvurei lev v'mechabesh l'atzvasam, shehashvuras lev, the broken heart, lo yeba atzvas chas v'chalila. It should not be depression, God forbid. V'zos hi harafua shenishar b'shivron lev b'simcha. The refua is that after the broken heart is removed, a person should feel better afterwards. Person should feel uplifted, and that's the refuah that comes at the end of the day. Same idea is found as well in the Tanya. The Bala Tanya writes in Perek Lamed Aleph the difference between depression and sadness as well, the simcha that comes from Nishbarei Lev. So we see this idea appearing in different Batei Medrash as well. This is also stated explicitly by Rav Shimon Schwab, famed Rav in the Yekki community in Washington Heights, the Rav of Broyers. His Mayim Beis HaShoeva is a modern classic that everybody should have. It is a must. Every single piece of Rav Schwab is mechadesh and beautiful. He is an amazing, amazing writer. And has beautiful chedushim. He is unique, a different perspective. It's not just vortlech on the parsha, but he's a parshan. He explains and he brings out ideas and he opens up sukkim in ways that he never saw before. So in the Mayim Beis HaShoeva, in the beginning of Parsis Vayishlach, he asks a good question. Yaakov Avinu is scared. Vayera lo ma'ot, he's scared of Esav. This is a tzaddik. This is one of the avos. Yaakov is scared? Come on. When we write the Gadol biography of Yaakov Avinu, he knew Shas when he was 5, and he, you know, was married when he was 17, and everything was perfect and great. So Yaakov Avinu is scared? Where's his amuna? Where's his bitachon? He's supposed to be a Gadol. He's supposed to be a tzaddik. What's going on over here? So right through Schwab, listen to this. V'nira shib emes teva ha'adam lipachein masakana. It's normal to be scared. You're allowed to be scared. You're allowed to be afraid. That's okay. V'gama tzadikim b'chalze. And tzadikim, says Schwab, I want to tell you a secret. Tzadikim also get scared. They also can become sad. It's okay. It's normal. But they take that emotion and they direct it towards Hashem. And after they're done, they know that Hashem listened to them. And then, they're fine. There's no more being scared. They spoke to Hashem and they unburdened themselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do we see from Yaakov? Right after he was done, he walked in the middle of the night across a bridge to go get pachim katanim. I thought you were so scared, and all of a sudden you're in the woods in the middle of the night by yourselves. No, he got over it. He davened, and the tefillah was effective. V'gam kishinavik ishimo lo matinu shalo pachad. Does the pasuk say anywhere that Yaakov was scared when he was wrestling with the malach, the sarosh Esav? No, he wasn't scared then. Why? Because he davened and he channeled it, and it was effective. And with the proper heart, he had bitachon in Hashem. Now, there is a whole other discussion here we're not going to have about it's okay to be scared and the issue of pachad and things like that. They have another shir on that. So I put here a QR code. That's another shir that goes off. You can take a picture of that and goes off on another avenue if you want to discuss that issue regarding pachad. It's a shir about the issue of the three psukim at the end of Aleinu, Altira mi pachad pisom, and the source of those three psukim, and how where they come from, and what the lesson is from Mordechai and Esther in that parsha by the Megillah. But ayin sham regarding that topic. I want to go in a different direction on this particular case. In the Sefer B'chatzar HaLevi, which is a story about Kedoma, so it says that the Ma'ari Asad, Rav Yehuda Asad, was one of the great Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. He says he was walking in the street one day, he saw a guy who just looked scared, he was white, he was just so sad, he was overcome with a terrible emotion. So the Ma'ari Asad looks at him and said, Rav Yid, you didn't daven today. So he's like, yeah, how'd you know? He said, because I can see on your face. The Pasuk says, Vayomer lahem l'chu achlu mishmarim v'shasu mamtakim. Chedvas Hashem hi mazchem. Pasuk in Nehemiah says that after you turn to Hashem, you should be besimcha. He says, a person's walking around, they're scared, they're petrified, they're nervous all the time. He says, I can tell. You didn't daven to Hashem. If you daven to Hashem today, you feel better. You wouldn't look like that at the end of the day. And that's, again, is that a rule? You see somebody walking down the street, oh, you didn't daven today, I can tell. Of course not, we don't go around saying that. The Mari Asad was a Gadol B'Yisrael. He had certain insight that maybe we don't have. But it's telling about the nature of tefillah and davening of Shru Elev to take that emotions and to channel and to feel better at the end of the day. So what's the next step at the end of the day then? So we decided, we told ourselves, Shru Elev is good, Atzmus is bad. So how do we take that power? How do we take the power of Nishbar Levav, the Nishbar Elev of being sad, and how do we channel it into an effective way and use that in our own Avodas Hashem and our own tefillah as well? There are few phenomena in the history of the world like Kriyas Yamsuf, like the splitting of the sea. There's nothing like it. It's the most amazing event, miracles on top of miracles, the most miraculous event ever encountered by mankind. And nevertheless, we find that Chazal in three places compare Kriyas Yamsuf to different things. The first is the Gemara in Pesachim. It's actually first in Shas, but I put it last year on the sheets. The Gemara in Pesachim says, Amar of Shizvi Mishmeder of Elazar ben Azariah, Kashin Mizanosav Shal Adam Kriyas Yamsuf. It's difficult to make a parnasa as it is to split the sea. Okay? Perhaps you're more familiar with the more famous one. That's the Gemara the beginning of Sota. Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar of Yochanan, Kashin Lizavugin Kriyas Yamsuf. Baking a shidduch is as difficult as splitting the sea. That's the more famous one. There's a third one there in the Gemara of Pesachim. The Gemara there says, this is definitely not our topic for right now, the Gemara says that relieving constipation is also as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. That's, a shiur for another time. Maybe. I don't even know. But that's another one. But there are three times in Shas where it says this. So the Mefarshim ask, that's difficult. Really? It's Kasha? It's difficult for Hashem to do anything? What does that mean? Hashem did not sweat when He split the sea. It wasn't Kasha for Him. And if that's the case, if it wasn't difficult for Hashem, so why is making a parnassus so difficult at the end of the day? And if that's the case, then why is finding a shidduch and getting married so difficult? Splitting the sea isn't difficult at all. So what are we talking about? The whole dimyon, the whole comparison is very strange. And there are so many Sheva Brachos Torahs, and Vortlach, and you know, Shvi Shal Pesach, all different types of things to bring these together. I want to offer an insight, which for me, I think, for myself is something that is very powerful for me, something that I think about often, when things are good and when things are bad, and try to channel this midah of Nishbrei Lev at the right time. So there's a medrash, I didn't bring it on the sheets, but the medrash says in Shmos Rabba, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu go through all of these things? That they sowed his rodef, there were animals coming after them, and their enemies were following them. Kevin Shiro, Yisrael, Shahim, Makfin, Gimel Ruchos, they were sounded on three sides. They didn't know what to do. Vayitzakula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they cried out. Shinamar, Vayitzaku, B'nai Yisrael, Hashem. Why did Hashem do this? El Shahia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misavel, Tfilos. Because Hashem desires their tfilos. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Lama Davar Doma, what is it like? Lamelech Shahayabab, Bedarech Bahaisa Bas Malachim, Tzoakas Lo, Bevakasham Imcha, Hatzilena Miad Halistim, that the king is going on the way, and the princes cry out, save us, Shama HaMelech Vatsila, and the king comes and saves them when they were in a terrible situation. Lacha Yamim Bikesh Lisa Osaisha, Bahia Masava Shadabari Mobilai Sarotza. Eventually the children of the king, you know, have enough of him, they leave. So the king sets up that the bandits should come after the children so that they'll call out for their father. That's what the Medrash says. That Hashem sometimes sets us up in difficulties, in situations of Nishbrei Lev, because He wants a relationship with us at the end of the day. And it goes like this. When a person is davening for a shidduch, when a person's davening for a parnasa, when you want that job, you want to get into that school, you want that relationship, how are those tefillos? What's that Shmoneh Esrei like when you really want something? What's it like? What's it like? How's that Shmoneh Esrei? What? It's good. That's a geshmak Shmoneh Esrei. Hashem, I want, and you want it so much, and you're davening, and you're focused, and you want that thing more than anything else in the world. That's a great davening. You're tuned in, you're focused, a longer Shmoneh Esrei, more shuckling, facing the sitter longer, the whole thing. You're really into it. That's a great davening. But what happens after the shidduch is settled? The word shidduch means to be settled. It comes from the word, it's the word sheket. The land was quiet. Everything's are settled. There's no more struggling. You have that job. You got into that school. You figured out that problem. The issue's no longer there. How's that Shmoneh Esrei? How's that davening? New?
Less intense.
It's less intense. It's relaxed. Hashem, I'm good. Everything's taken care of. We all know the joke. The guy's looking for a parking spot, right? And he says, Hashem, if I can get a parking spot for the meeting in 10 minutes, I'm going to do Daf Yomi and I'm going to make Mincha Ma'ariv every single day. And I'm going to give this to the fifth of everything to Tzedakah. And he's going to go on and on and on. And then 3 minutes before the meeting, slot opens up. He pulls in and says, oh, thanks Hashem. We're good. I got it figured out, right? When everything is good, you don't need Hashem. When everything's bad, as we say, there's no atheist in a foxhole. We're always turning to Hashem. So I want to explain as follows. When it says that it's difficult, when it's kasha, when it's difficult for Hashem to split the sea and to make a parnasa, doesn't mean kasha, it's physically difficult for Hashem. Nothing's physically difficult for Hashem. What it means is Rashi says, by the parsha of Shmini Atzeres, why is there an eighth day of Sukkos? So Rashi says that Hashem tells us, kasha alai predaschem. It's difficult for you to leave me after 7 days. Stay for one more day. Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, let's stay for one more day. Kasha doesn't mean hard, physically hard. Kasha means kaviyachal, in the eyes of Hashem, it's emotionally hard. It's hard for Hashem. It's difficult for Hashem to give you that parnasa and to give you that shidduch. Do you know why? Because Hashem knows when He gives you that shidduch and He gives you that parnasa, what's that relationship going to be like? Hashem, I'm good. Thanks. You were very helpful when things were bad. When I was Nishbarei Lev, you were great, Hashem. You were fantastic. But now that I'm good and everything's taken care of, fine. Daven up Shmoneh Esrei, get through it quickly, do what I have to do, and that's it. So says Hashem, kasha, it's difficult for me. But when I split the sea, says Hashem, I know what's going to happen. When I split that sea for Klal Yisrael, they're going to get to the other side, they're going to start complaining, there's no food, there's no water. I know what's going to happen. When they need me, then they're there, the relationship is strong. I wish it wasn't like that, says Hashem. But that's the nature of how people are. And when that person needs a shidduch, says Hashem, they're davening so much, and they're so in touch, and they're so in tune, and we feel very close to Hashem. And when I get the shidduch, it's kasha. It's kasha for Hashem to give it to me, because Hashem feels like the relationship's going to go away. And says Hashem, nishbarei lev, don't forget about nishbarei lev. Don't forget about taking struggles. We all have struggles. At any moment in life, there are struggles. That is the nature of gullus. There's always something to work on, to be better at, to improve. If a person feels there's nothing to work at, then what's the point of being around? We're here to work. Adam nivra la'amel. We're here to work. Now, if a person has nothing to struggle with, and there's no nishbarei lev, then there's nothing going on in your life. So you take those moments of nishbarei lev, and you channel them. And you build relationships with Hashem. Because if not, it's kasha for Hashem. Hashem desires our relationship so much that those difficulties are there to build that relationship between us and Hashem at the end of the day. I think we can use this to explain a different pshat in a famous gemara. I heard this from Rav Menashe Reisman, who's a Belzer Chassid in Eretz Yisrael. So we're familiar with the famous Gemara, in the famous Gemara in Yevamos, the famous Gemara in Ksubis about Rabbi Akiva. We know that Rabbi Akiva was not Ma'aretz until he was 40 years old, right? And he marries Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua. They elope, they don't tell the father. The father cuts them off because he doesn't want his daughter to marry such a foolish young man, such an ignoramus. And at the end of the day, they get married, they live happily for a little bit of time. And on condition that she married Akiva, so Rachel said, you have to go learn. You have to go to Beis Medrash, you have to learn Aleph Beis, you have to take care of yourself. So that's what he does. Rabbi Akiva goes and he leaves his wife. They have a plan for 12 years. For 12 years, he leaves his wife and he goes to learn yeshiva. And he grows and grows and grows. And from learning Aleph Beis, he becomes one of the top Magidei Shirim in the yeshiva. He has many, many Talmidim and he becomes very successful. 12 years are up. His wife, Rachel, has not heard anything about her husband. Doesn't know what's going on. There's no WhatsApp. There's no texting. No letters being sent. He knows that he's learning, but nothing about his success so far. He comes back after 12 years. He's about to knock on the door. Rabbi Akiva's about to knock on the door. And he hears the following conversation. The neighbor turns to Rachel and says, what's wrong with you? You're like a living widow. Your husband abandons you. He's never around. What's going on? This is a life for you? So Rachel says to the woman, says to the neighbor, if my Akiva would go learn for another 12 years, I would be happy. I just want him to grow and be matzliach and to build himself up and to become a Talmid Chacham. So Rabbi Akiva hears that. Does he knock on the door? No. turns right around, and he goes back to yeshiva, and he learns for another 12 years. Ask Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, why not just knock on the door, say hello, Shalom Aleichem, and turn around? You don't even have to eat anything, don't even drink anything, say hello and turn around. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gives the famous answer, which is 12 plus 12 doesn't equal 24. What does that mean? It's not the same to learn 12 years and then take a break for a moment and learn 12 years than it is to learn for 24 years straight. It's not the same to sit and learn and sit on something for an extended period of time and to break it. Just the quality is different. To be totally immersed in something without any hesach hadas, without any mental and emotional break, is much more powerful. And that's the famous answer of Chaim Shlavitz. Perhaps you've heard it before, perhaps you haven't. It's in the Sichos Musar. Says Rav Menashe Reisman, and he actually quotes this in the name of a Mora of his sister. His sister's Mora said this pshat. It's an amazing pshat. Says Rabbi Akiva to himself. He said, do you know why I was matzliach for these 12 years? Because my wife davened from a nishbar lev, a broken heart. She wanted nothing else than for me to grow. She saw her husband, an ignoramus in Amar Aretz, who didn't know Aleph Beis, and she poured every single day Shachris Mincha Mariv, davening for Akiva, to be successful. And if I come back, and I knock on that door, and she sees me, she's going to say, ah, my Akiva, he's a Talmid Chacham now, I see the way he's dressed, the way he talks, he's good, he's going back to yeshiva, he's taken care of, he's fine, he'll be good for the next 12 years. And what's going to be with the tefillos of Rachel? What's going to be with that davening for her husband? Where's the quality going to be? Where's going to be the broken heart, the sadness, the emotion, the hope and the longing for her husband to grow? What's going to happen to it? It's going to disappear. It's going to be gone. And Rabbi Akiva said, I know where my hatzlacha comes from. I know where my success comes from. It comes from her davening. And if I knock on that door, who knows what's going to be? Better that she doesn't know. Better that I should continue to grow and she continues to daven for me. And I should become who I can become, even greater. Fast forward 12 years. Rabbi Akiva comes back with thousands and thousands of students. Thousands of students. And they hear that the famous, now famous Rabbi Akiva is coming. And Rachel knows now that something's up with her husband. He's a big deal. He's a big time. He's ready to go. And he's coming back, and the crowds are coming together, throngs of people, as the prodigal son returns. Rabbi Akiva is coming back to his town, and they're pushing, and they're trying to get through to see him. And all of a sudden, a woman pushes her way through the crowd and falls in front of Rabbi Akiva. And the Talmidim say, who's this lady falling on Rabbi Akiva? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? What's going on? And Rabbi Akiva turns to the students and say, enough. Don't talk about her. Because Shaliva Shalchem Shalahi. Because what I've accomplished and what you've accomplished is because of her. I have a tremendous hakar sov. Anything I've done is because of her. What's pshat in Shaliva Shalchem Shalahi? Everything I accomplished in the last 24 years is because of her. Because of her tefilos. Not because she let me leave after 24 years. There's no big chachma in that. It's because she davened for us. She davened for Hatzlach for 24 years. Not 12 years. For 24 years she davened for us. And everything I accomplished and everything you accomplished, as Rabbi Akiva to his students, is because of her and because of her davening for us over this time. And that is the power of a Nishbar Lev. Sadness and struggle is good. It builds friction, allows us to build and to grow. If everything was flat and without friction around us, we would fall down all the time. When there's friction, you can grow. If the mountain is slippery and icy, you can't get up the mountain. But if there's friction, you can climb the mountain. You can hold on and you can use those opportunities to grow and to build. A nishbar lev, struggle and things that are upsetting us, are opportunities to grow, and specifically for us today in this conversation, to use that in our tefillos. To take those items, whether it means writing them down and keeping a notepad in your pocket or on your phone to say, you know, what can I daven for? What's there to work on in my tefillah? What can I talk to Hashem about? And use those things to grow further and greater at the end of the day. So just to bring everything together and to summarize here, At the end of the discussion, a seeming contradiction. Do we have the issur of davening from atzvos versus the seemingly endless sources regarding nishbrei lev of broken hearts? And we showed in one approach, one idea is to take those things and to channel it versus other things that are not relevant to tefillah and not think about those things. But more specifically, I think in a deeper way, to take opportunities and to know the difference between depression and sadness. Depression, a person who never feels good, and davening never helps. They never feel good afterwards. But then take versus the nishbrei lev, the person who's struggling, the person who wants to grow, the person who has things to work on, the person who has things to accomplish, and taking those opportunities and channeling them into our davening, growing from them, using as opportunities to accomplish, to create relationships with Hashem and relationships for those around us as well. Okay? We'll stop here. Thank you so much.